So welcome to our second parent-son learning session. I hope everyone's able to see this on Facebook Live. If parents have any questions throughout the shiur, I guess the best way to do it is to send a message to your kids, and they'll pass the question along to me. So with Pesach coming up, I thought we would do an area that's interesting, I think. It has to do with the two tefshilim. So in these areas, sometimes I like to start with what I call the bottom up, meaning that with what we do today, and then kind of work our way backwards to how this evolved conceptually. Now, the problem is when I give these types of shurim in other places, like in the Shul HaDavanim, they always assume I'm going to say that whatever you're doing today is wrong. The good news is, that's not, first of all, it's not true. There's many times you do not say that. And specifically in this instance, the good news is that it's all good. As you see as we progress through this year, what everybody does today is actually fine. But I imagine what most people do is they have the zroa and the beitza, the shank bone and the egg. For the guys here, does anyone not have that at their Seder plate? Anyone not have that? All right. No? Yeah. Everyone have that? Okay. Just out of curiosity, how do you make the egg? There's a different minhagim what to do with the egg. Some people do what with the egg? Well, some people roast it. Some people roast the egg.
Yeah, we roast it.
Right. Other people do not. Other people, bedavka, boil the egg. Okay. And it's amazing. There's so many different variations, as I pointed out to one of our Chabad students, that Chabad uses chicken. They do not use the meats. We'll get to that later. I mean, not every specific minhag, but why certain customs emerge and certain ones didn't. And it's all based on one overall approach. So the crux of this entire area really is found in the Gemara. But before I get to the Gemara, I started off with the Rambam, right? There was an accusation that I started off with the Rambam for some sort of brisker reason. However, I will argue that premise. I only brought in the Rambam just to show the contrast between what the Rambam says and what the Mishnah says. And then when we get to the Ran, I'll show you why I approach it this way. So let's look what the Rambam says. So the Rambam says in source number one, Hilchos Chametz Matzah Paraches Lach Aleph. So basically what would happen is that they'd have the first kos, and then they would do Urchatz, okay, and then they'd bring a Shulchan Aruch. So it's the third line, a Mevi'in Shulchan Aruch. So they would bring this set table. Now today, what people tend to use today is what's called the Seder plate. The Seder plate is not really it's not purely a lachic idea. It's the next step after the Shulchan idea, which is the Shulchan idea was they would actually bring like these little tables, and on the table, what would you have? So you'd have maror, v'yerek acher, umatzah v'charoses. Okay. Now in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, you'd have on there the gufo shel keves, so that is the korban pesach, the lamb. And basar chagiga, and the meat of the holiday sacrifice, the festive offering, on the Seder plate. So you'd have, we should be familiar with this, you'd have your matzah, your maror, your charoses, which we're all familiar with, and as well, you'd also have the meats of the two korbanos, the two sacrifices. You'd have the Pesach meat and the chagiga meat. And then the Rambam says, but today, it was manazeh, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, mevin al shulchan shnei minei basar, echad zecha the Pesach, v'echad zecha the chagiga. The Rambam says, what do we do today? We bring two types of meat. Okay, two types of meat. Now, it's interesting. Just to be medayik in the Rambam, when he says two types of meat, does he mean two different types of meat or just two pieces of meat? How would you learn that? What do you think he's saying? Pretend you don't know anything about the sugya, right? If all you have is a Rambam, halavai, if all you have is a Rambam, and what do you call it, then you wanted to know what to do, walking out of there, what would you say about this? You say two different types. Shnei mini basar, meaning... Okay, now, why? Because you say, Echad Zecher LePesach, one in commemoration of the Korban Pesach, one in commemoration of the Chagiga, implies two different types of meat. So you'd argue, maybe, you'd argue that, I don't know, let's say like rib steak and...
Flank steak.
What?
Flank steak.
Flank steak, right. Okay, maybe. Could be. I don't know. Could be. Okay, fine. But the Mishnah, source number two, doesn't say that. What the Mishnah says is that they brought on the first line, Hevulafana, they brought before matzah, chazeres, and charoses, ushnei tafshilin. Okay, now what's shnei tafshilin mean? What's shnei tafshilin? two cooked dishes. Okay. Now, okay. Now, there's one other place. This is not directly related, but it can play a role in how to approach this. There's another area in halacha where shnei tafshilin is mentioned. That's true, but that's different. What? Nope. No, well, but as an option. I'm being sneaky. Let me be a little more honest. What I would say is that there's one area in halacha where bedafka you can't have shnei tafshilin. You're limited to one tafshil. What? To Erev Tisha B'Av. Right? By the Sudum of Sekis, by Erev Tisha B'Av, you only have to have one tafshil. Right? So you'll see why there's the halachic precedent. I'm not saying which one came first, but the idea of tafshil, what the idea of a tafshil is going to play a role in understanding the sugya. But anyway, so what does the Mishnah tell you? The Mishnah tells you two cooked dishes. Right? So now if you walk away from the Mishnah, right, what should you have in your Seder plate? Anything you want. Two cooked anything. It wouldn't matter. Right? And it turns out, as we look in the Gemara seems to endorse this idea by the first position. So what does the first position say? Who's reading, by the way? Who's reading? Volunteers? Ezra Koppel. Alright, so what does the Gemara say? You kufi da'al on the base. Okay, so right off the bat, you see now. Okay, so now if you're now, sometimes what happens when you read the Gemara, you start getting nervous. Why? But today, what does everyone do today? Right, the shank bone and the egg. But the first position of the Gemara doesn't mention anything. First of all, there's no mention of meat, no mention of eggs. They're simply beets and rice. Okay, beets and rice. All right, now what is the Rashbam? Just sneak down to the Rashbam number 4. What does he add? But he says the kol shekain, even more so, right? You can use what? Two different types of meat. Okay. Why does he say that? It's a good question. Okay, we'll find out. All right. So back to the Gemara. So the first position of the Gemara says, what does shnei tafshilin mean? It means two cooked dishes. Doesn't seem to matter, right? Doesn't seem to matter what you use. Rice and beets. Just as an example, two cooked dishes. Okay. Chizki Amar. All right, so afilu, that's the hint. You're asking what it meant in Rashbam. The hint is afilu, even dag u beitza sha'alav. Okay, let's think for a second. What's dag u beitza love mean? What does it mean, fish and the egg that's upon it? What's he referring to? What do you mean? Right, so in your two cooked dishes, so this would work. That's why I'm using the contrast to Erev Tisha B'Av. One of the questions that comes by Erev Tisha B'Av is when we say one tafshil, what do we mean? For instance, if I have a lasagna, right? Yeah. Is a lasagna one cooked dish? Or is it really...
Seven.
Well, it depends on what you have in your lasagna. But I'm saying, or is it multiple cooked items, right? So here, what do you have? You have dog with beitz shalav. So now you have a fish with an egg on it. What do you actually have now? So you can argue, is it two cooked things? So when he says afilu, what's he telling you? Even though this is cooked slash served as one thing, right? It's still considered two. Okay? So that's the second position. How can you possibly have a question on that?
Does a beta or dog get
changed? Now comes Rav Yosef.
Rav Yosef Amar, Tzarech Shri Mini Basar, Echad Zecher L'Pesach, Echad Zecher L'Chagim.
Okay. What does that mean?
You need two different types of meat, one for, same as Rambam, one for the
Pesach. You hear what he said?
Okay, the Rambam is the same as him, yes.
Same as the Rambam, good. So you need two types of meat. One Zechel Pesach and one Zechel Chagiga. All right. So now, this should raise... let's just do Ravina real quickly. What does Ravina hold? Okay, now, we're going to get back to Rav Yosef in a second, because he's the crux of the whole area. What does Ravina say? Ravina says, Grama Bishula. So what's the new idea that he's proposing? When he says the meat and its broth, what's he really saying? All right, good. So Tzujaf is saying good. He's saying that there you have, what do you have in the meat and its broth? What do you have there? Right, so you mean you two are the same, almost basically it's the same thing, right? And yet, even though it's the same thing, we can treat it as two tafshilin, okay? We'll define that later on. It's important to define those shittas as well. But the big problem is Rav Yosef. Why is Rav Yosef a problem? I mean, if you read this Gemara, you should be very troubled when you read Rav Yosef in contrast to the other positions in the Gemara. Why? Okay, that's one good thing. So Rav Yosef is the one who says tzar. Rav Yosef is the one who seems to say that you must use this. The other positions don't say must. You can use this, right? Rav Yosef says must. And what's the other thing? And now in the must, what's he insisting you use?
Well, he doesn't mention fish oil.
Oh, that's okay. It's true. But I don't think it would hold you. You can have raw meats, obviously.
No.
You mean you could eat slit?
Either slit or raw.
Okay. No one's going to say you. I think so. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, no one's going to say that. I mean, be spar for sure. But I didn't even think factually. No one's going to say you can have something raw. You can have like raw food. You cannot. Tafshilin. I know, you're being too medayek. I mean, I hear that. You could, but I don't think, nobody learns that way. Because you see, because everybody passes, like, many people pass like of Yosef, and then it's just a question of how you cook it. But no one ever suggested you can have, like, a steak tartare. That's terrible. Okay. Anyway, so, all right. So why is Rav Yosef so problematic? Because Rav Yosef is introducing this idea of a fixed, specific structure, right? You can only have two pieces of meat. And the final, the coup d'etat is what? That's the wrong use of the word. But anyway, what's the final thing he adds to it? Yeah. So he mentions Zecher L'Korban Pesach and Zecher L'Korban Chagiga, right? But the other sheetahs don't mention that. What?
The other guy's not Muslim, but the government.
What?
The other guy's have a different reason, or is this, he's just explaining the other reason also?
Okay, so that's why you need the Ron to learn the Sugya, okay? Because the problem is this. Now before we start explaining what's going on here, you're going to be at a crossroads because you only have two options in front of you. Okay, either you're going to say that Rav Yosef has this idea of Zecher L'Korban Pesach, Zecher L'Korban Chagiga, that Rav Yosef has a unique idea that the purpose of the two cooked dishes is to commemorate, the two pieces of meat are to commemorate the korbanos, and the other positions disagree with that reason. So that's one approach you could take. You could argue that. You could say that this is an argument in whether what the actual purpose of the two tafshilin are. You could go down that road, okay? Good luck. Luckily, in my opinion, if you go down that road, you're gonna get stuck because it's gonna be machlok. The argument's gonna be a machlokas in basically what the tam of the shnei tafshilin is, and that's a much more universal and difficult machlokas. The Ron sent us something else. What does the Ron say? That's your cue. Who? So all the positions in the Gemara agree with what? Well, no. Let's be careful. What do they all agree with? The reason for the two cooked dishes is what? Is Zecher LePesach, Zecher LChagiga. All right. So now, hold on. Yeah, relax. So what is the Ron doing? The Ron, it's a clever maneuver. It solves one problem, but creates another problem. The problem he solves is that everybody in the Gemara agrees with what?
The reason.
The reason. Is that clear? Everyone in the Gemara agrees the reason why you have two cooked dishes is this idea of Zecher L'Korban Pesach, Zecher L'Korban Chagiga. Right? Okay. Fine. But there's a problem now that emerges as a result of that. What's the problem? Well, that's true. Yes, he's correct. They don't seem to be in agreement on how to do that. That's true. But a more basic problem. What do you mean? I mean, you're right. You're picking on the right guy. Okay, so can you, like, invert that?
Okay, they don't bring it down.
Right. In other words, that's, I'd rather stress that point. In other words, if you're going to tell me the whole reason that you're doing the Shnei Tafshilin is to remember the Korban Pesach and Korban Chagiga, so why wouldn't you hold like Rav Yosef? Right? Why wouldn't you hold like him? Doesn't he accomplish the best commemoration of the sacrifices? Shnei Minei Basar. And he says it himself, right? For Shnei Minei Basar. Isn't that a better commemoration of the sacrifices? Why wouldn't you hold like Rav Yosef? So from a methodology standpoint, that's the question you need to ask at this point. You have three positions, right? You have A, B, and C. And putting Rav Yosef to the side. And all of them seem to say, it doesn't matter, you don't have to use meat. Even Moshe just told Ravina himself also, he's not saying Minei Basar because of the Korban. Fine, even when I learn he does, that doesn't bother me. The point is that Rav Yosef's the only one who seems to really have like the ideal position. So why won't the other positions agree with him? That seems to be the most logical way to learn. Yes? You said so good. That's good. Stop right there. So that's the good question. The question Mati's asking is a great question. Mati's saying, well, how is it a Zecher how is the Zecher working here? Right? That is the real question you have to ask. I mean, if you want to get to the real underlying question, the question is, how do beets and rice accomplish any idea of Zecher? Wow, look at these beets and rice.
Why does Zecher have to be
visualization of the same thing that we had back then.
Why does it have to be?
What are you doing?
Okay, so right. So what are you doing before?
Commemoration.
Right. How is that an appropriate commemoration? I'm not disagreeing with you. One second. Don't pounce on me. There's some truth to what he's saying. When I see beets and rice, right? You're just flipping around. You're saying, yeah, look, beets and rice. You're saying good. Yeah. Raf.
Can the zikr be done just through the same method of preparation, such as like roasting an egg? Like you're not roasting the same thing, but since you're roasting it, so it's still reminding you of that which you're roasting.
Okay, but you're cheating ahead. Correct. You're starting to tie what we do today to what they did back in the times of the Mishnah Gemara.
No, but I'm just saying that zikr doesn't have to be through the same object. It can also be through the method of cooking.
Well, okay, good. One second. So Rob's already making the correct first step. I'm just gonna. But the first step you have to say is that there's two possible approaches you can take when it comes to zechers. One is what you use, right? And I would say normally that's how you do a zecher for something. The thing that you use, the object, all right? In this case, it would be, for instance, the min shel ochel, the species of food. That would be the vehicle for commemoration. But you see, based on the Gemara, the fact that they have this big argument about beets, rice, fish, eggs, what are they clearly showing you? It's not about the min shel ochel. It's not about the food, the species of food, but what is it about? But that's not true. It has to be method of cooking. They do mention it. The Mishnah does. Shnei Tavshilin. But that's what they mean, though. Shnei Tavshilin means every one of these positions is talking about a Tavshil.
No, but you can say there's quality of it as opposed to a specific idea. It's not a fundamental part of the Zecher. It's just part of the way the category is established.
Of Tavshil? No, what I'm saying is like this. No, but then the main question. Could you have a situation, the Gemara never posits a case of let's say, apples and oranges, right? But why not? That's not a possibility. When the Mishnah says Shnei Tavshilin. It doesn't say Shnei Ochel. It doesn't say this. It says Shnei Tavshilin. There's a reason why it says Shnei Tavshilin. Well, say it again? We have to ask, how do we define this? I mean, how do we make a step here? What's the problem here? There's a problem. There is a problem. What is the problem? What is the problem? No, what? Yes, that's true. I want to know conceptually what the problem is. What's the issue they're grappling with? Like Mati said before, really it is okay. But why? Okay, so then what I want to ask on Mati is why does it seem like such a struggle? Right.
This is Isaac's point because we're not doing it all the way. So you just have to draw your line somewhere, and then it's just where along the line of.
Okay, good. That's good. That's good. Right. We're not. It's clear. The Gemara is clearly indicating we don't. As you put it, go all the way, right? Okay. Now, I'll take that idea and let's give that a little more of a form, okay? Let's talk about zechers for a second, okay? And let's talk about one of my favorite zechers, all right? One of my favorite ones, okay. More often than not, our zechers are zecher the what? What? That's true. Someone mentioned that this morning, but that's true. But zecher the korban, okay? That's the common thing. Chazal are very into remembrances and commemorations of the Korban Abayah, so the destruction of the temple, right? Okay. Now, let's look at Lulav for a second, okay? In the times of the temple, all right, in the Beis HaMikdash, how many days was the Lulav used? 7 days, right? Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, how many days was the Lulav used?
One.
Just in the first day. Okay. What do we do today? All seven. Now, after the first day, right, days 2, 3, 4, 5, etc., why do we pick up the Lulav in those days? Zecher the Korban. Okay. That's a beautiful Zecher. Why is that a beautiful Zecher? Right. So we're taking the same exact object that they used, right, and doing what with it? Using it now. In other words, we're able to commemorate and what they did in the Beis HaMikdash, right? Because we have the same object. We could take the object that already exists and use it and build off of it and extend the Chiyuv to 7 days. We could do that. We could build off that object, okay? Because there is such an object to build off of. Okay, but now I ask you. Let's look at Korach. Okay, Korach is funny. What's funny about Korach? Well, we're missing what? No, say it.
We're missing the
rap. Right, exactly. Yeah. So unfortunately for those Ashkenazim who have hard matzahs, weren't able to rap. That's true. We're missing the rapping. That's true. But what do we? What, when we do Korach, what do?
We're missing Korach.
So it's a funny thing. We're zecher. What they did in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, right? We have our maror, we have our matzah, but what don't we have? Why not? Okay, we don't have it. Okay, so now comes the problem. This is the problem that Chazal face, I think. Okay, because on the one end, you see that what do Chazal want to do? They seem to be yearning for some type of zecher. They want a zecher here. The Ron is categorizing this as an issue of commemoration. They want to have express an idea of commemoration during the Seder, right? On your Seder plate. But the problem is that there's no object for them to be able to use as a source of commemoration. Because what do we not have today? Pesach. Not just Pesach, we don't have korbanos. There is no korban to speak of for us to use to sort of bounce off of and duplicate. We don't have such a thing. So this is exactly the tension. Your point, what you said before, about where to draw the line, that's what that comes from, this tension that exists. On the one hand, you want to have a zecher. On the other hand, we don't lack the normative halachic means to produce said zecher, because we don't have the object. We don't have a lulav to build off of. We don't have a korban. Yes?
The korban and the lulav seem to be...
What did the Rambam say? The Rambam said that normally on your Seder plate, what would you have? You'd have your... along with your... All right, so what are those things share in common? They're all what?
All have to do with the
dead. Okay, good. They're all foods that I'm obligated to consume on Pesach night. Okay? Foods I'm obligated to consume on Pesach night. That's what they all share in common. Right? So we're going to call that part of my Suda Salila, my Pesach meal that I'm chayv to have on, that I'm obligated to have on Pesach night. That Seder plate has on it all those things I'm obligated to eat. Okay? But today, we're missing the korbanos. Okay, so now, what's happening now? What are they trying to do? What are they doing?
Fill in the hole.
What?
Fill in the hole.
Okay. So they want to say, that's right. They want to fill in the hole. I agree. But what are they, again, this is going back to the point before. How are they doing it? This is the key move. How are they doing it? Yes.
Maybe they're trying to figure out what meat without the
shame
korban is.
Meat without the shame korban. But it's interesting. That's interesting. I'm going to put a lach l'maisa. Are you chayef to have those shnei tavshilin to consume them?
No.
Some people want to say the second day of Pesach, you eat them, whatever. But there's no obligation. You don't make a bracha on them. You don't eat those. You can't even want to, but you don't have to eat those two things. So there is a contrast via the relationship to the other things because there's no obligation to consume them. But there's one thing I want to wedge in there, which is the fact, why does the Mishnah say Shnei Tavshilin?
So how does that create a zecher?
What?
The contrast?
No, you have the fact that these... meaning, if you didn't have two things at all, then there would be no zecher. Right. The fact that you put in two tefillin and they're not going to be consumed and there's no shame mitzvah to them, that is a commemoration. The fact that you should have had
why not
and this tesha.
Why not meat or why exactly?
Well, meaning the whole point is to show the conscience. The whole point is that you're not...
And I think what Levi and what you guys are all saying, it all works together. In other words, why tafsha? Because the things like this, in order to produce a zecher, like you're saying, you want to add, we can't have our Seder plate without these things on it because we have to demonstrate that we're lacking the Korban Pesach and the Korban Chagiga. We have to have some way of demonstrating that we're missing those two things, right? So what do we want to do? We want to add two components to our, which is what though? To our meal, our suda salayla, our night meal. We want to add two components that aren't there, okay? Because it would be inappropriate to go ahead without that type of zecher, right? So since we're talking about the realm of suda, of meal, right? So a suda is always, what do you use for suda?
Tavshilin.
Tavshilin has an idea in suda. You see that, again, you see that by, what do you call it, by Erev Tisha B'Av also. When they talk about the limitation in tavshilin, they say not kvias suda like hamotzi, because I know that's the kind of question you would ask. Not that kind of, not in a bad way, but not that kind of meal. It means that the idea of a certain chashivas, okay, a certain chashivas that cooked things bring out. And that's why it has to be cooked. Cooked is the mechanism to mitzarif it, to join it into the realm of meal, okay? But what do you see? But it's not about the substance, right? The first positions are saying it's nothing to do with the substance. It has to do simply that by adding two cooked things, and like Levi's saying, you create the contrast because you're not chayef to eat these things. They're just there for zecher, right? But by adding these two things to my meal, right, and you probably at this point would probably say they should be different, but by adding these two things to the meal, what am I demonstrating? I'm demonstrating a nice idea of zecher, okay?
What is the zecher?
The two korbanos.
No, but what quality of the korbanos do they have that is the zecher?
None.
So they're just things.
That's the point. I'm adding two things to my meal that I never would add it. I'll give you a raya. It turns out there's a precedent. When you call a proof or precedent, either way, it works. There's a custom, which is not done often today, but when it comes to commemorating the loss of the temple at a joyous event, okay, even at a regular meal, but certainly a joyous event, okay, when you set the table, what do you do? One extra spot. And you put a plate, a fork, a knife, you set that up, right? So what are you doing? So you're adding an extra plate to the meal, to the experience, without what?
It being used.
Without being used. So in a similar way, that's what's happening here. In other words, you're adding two things here, right? Which should not be part of my suda. There's no reason why we should have these two things in my suda, right? Beets and rice, right? I mean, there are two cooked things. I don't need these two cooked things.
But the absence of utility itself, that's the
zeka. Right, but it doesn't mean you can't eat them.
Well, so you shouldn't be able to eat them.
I don't know about that. Some people want to say that. There are some poskim who say, you know, they're off limits. There are people who say that. Yes.
So there shouldn't be two empty spots in your seder plate?
No, because then you wouldn't remember.
There's no seder plate.
There's no seder plate, right. You're thinking of the way you make seder plates with like little bowls. You're right, it could be. You're right. Ezra's right. You have a
seder plate. The seder plate.
Right, it could be, but that's not what it was. It was like a shulchan, it was a table. Yeah. Oh, one second. So what's Rav Yosef coming along to say? Now comes the other issue, okay? Hold on, let's be careful. Hold on. What is Rav Yosef saying?
Much
yeah.
Why can't Rav Yosef just be saying that? No, because it's a Zephyr. We want to recreate it as much as possible.
Okay. So that's going to be... See, that's where it's interesting. If we just went down the road of the other three positions without defining their specifics, so we don't have much time, right? Then it's nice because the substance is irrelevant, okay? Because they're going to say the fact that I'm having these two extra foods is the essence. But if Yosef says, uh-uh, what's he saying? You're right, but let's get a little clearer.
He's
what?
It's what the Ron explains
his
position.
Yes. Right, so what does Ron say? Shnei Minei Basar. Now it's interesting, but let's be careful. This is where you got to be very careful. Okay, this is the hardest part. Okay, so it's interesting. Because what Rav Yosef does, Rav Yosef opens up the floodgates, and in fact, what we do today is because we shift into Rav Yosef's position. Just to let you know, if we held like the other few positions, I'm not even sure people would have meat on their seder plates. But because of Rav Yosef, okay, we switch from pure commemoration to starting to get in little issues of reenactment. But there's a problem, though. What are you not allowed to do? That's you got to be careful. This is where a lot of the I'm jumping from Rishonim all the way down to Achronim, but there's a big concern Achronim express when it comes to this issue, which you can't do what? What? Right. You can't go too far. To start having a lamb, right, that you've roasted on a, let's say, on a Rimon spitz, you know, et cetera, that's going too far. In other words, there's an idea where you're not supposed to try and duplicate the korban. That you're not allowed to do, okay? So the question, so what Rav Yosef is suggesting is, Rav Yosef is saying that isolating a feature of korban, right, and using that to build the zechar off of is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Because it's not the thing itself. As long as it's not the thing itself, it's okay. The first position is just saying there's no need to do that. Because if at the end of the day, all we care about is one thing. You have these two foods. It's the existence of the two tafshilin themselves that produces zecher. But Mati, you're right. What Rav Yosef is suggesting is that if you can isolate a feature of korban, why not? There's nothing wrong with that. Okay? And that's what he's trying to do. And that's where the whole sugya, that what we do today, all comes from that one position. By trying to isolate a feature of korban. Yeah.
So it is a commemoration, not a reenactment.
Everyone... Rabbeinu
Chananel.
Okay, so Rabbeinu Chananel says, what should you do? Now, come on. Now you guys got to start seeing more so. Rav Yosef is step one. Rabbeinu Chananel is the next step. What does Rabbeinu Chananel insist that you do? What? But what's he trying to do? Right, because what's he doing? No, that's true. Yes, there's some. Okay, yes. Greater reenactment. What? Ah, now you're starting to see more of a differentiation between the Korban Pesach and the Korban Chagiga. Hints of egg and what do you call it? And zroah and shankbone. What? That's a great question. Hold on. So now I'll tell you why. So Tosa says what? Tosa says Velona Hira. He doesn't like this. Why? So it's an amazing thing. So Tosa is funny. He's got a sense of humor. Tosa says, one second. Rabbeinu Chananel, how can you possibly suggest in your desire to reenact that you're going to go ahead and only roast the Korban Pesach? There's meaning that, I mean, the meat that's commemorating the Korban Pesach. What should you do as well? Roast them. If you're gonna introduce the idea of roasting, how could you not roast both of them? Right? That's his question on what do you call it? Rabbeinu Chananel. How does it make sense to roast only one of the two? Because the Korban Chagiga was roasted as well, right? So it's a beautiful question.
Which one
to remember as to which one?
Yeah, how does it show a difference?
Okay, right. That's true.
But then why did you choose the Korban Pesach?
That's a good question.
Oh, all right. That's definitely more
effective. But 1 second. But what's his answer, though? But then Tosa says, at the end, he says what? Oh. So Tosa says, no. So what should you do? Don't roast any of them, right? So he's interesting. No one suggests you should roast both, all right? That's not suggested, all right? Rather, what does Tosa suggest instead? Cook both. So what's the machlokas? What are they arguing about? This is a funny argument. Rabbeinu Chananel says, roast one and then do what to the other? Cook it, right? Why? We're not sure, right? And Tosa says, why would you do that? Just roast both. Yes. Saying that it's one thing to do a zecher, okay, but zecher is when it comes to korbanos, you can't do mimicking. We don't want to mimic, right? So to start involving yourself with roasting, it seems like Tosas is saying that type of cooking, right, is too far. That's already leaving the zecher zone and entering into the mimicking zone. That we can't do. Why?
That line.
Why?
It's
a good question. You're right. Well, that's just another component. Well, you mean two mimics versus three? I don't know, because the mission doesn't.
We hold you're allowed to roast rice.
It's a good question. We're gonna if we have time to take that up. Well, if we have time to take that up. But I want to know what has
what's
been.
What's the problem with mimicking?
What?
What's the problem with mimicking?
What's the problem with mimicking? Is there a problem with mimicking?
Have
no, there is, because you can't. What? What? Right, exactly. You can't create a reality of korban outside the Beis Hamikdash. Beis Hamikdash is destroyed. You can't try to create that reality. You can create a reality of lulav. What? It's a good question. I'm not. We'll get to that. I'm not denying your question. Either you're going to hold Tosas holds the problem of mimicking, or you could say I think you'd like this that Tosas is saying that that you don't gain anything by doing sli. Meaning like this. Meaning that since the idea is commemoration, right? So what's the advantage of starting to roast the meats? And how does that help you? Right. What?
What's the advantage of
meat? And what does he say in the end? Shnei Tavshilin. He concludes by saying Shnei Tavshilin.
No, Tarvayu. The busser is
Tarvayu. I mean, they're both cooked. That's true. You're right. You're right. You mean, what does Rav Yosef gain?
Well,
let's put it this way. You could argue that you don't have to go past that one feature. That feature is sufficient.
Well, as long as we're in the realm of recreation, then we show as many features.
Right. Okay, you're right. I hear that. That's why I want them. I like the mimicking approach better. Oh, so that's what's his answer? That's a more intriguing one. What's Rabbeinu? Because you need Rabbeinu Chananel, because Rabbeinu Chananel is going to be very important for how you get to the Zro and the Beitza. But what is Rabbeinu Chananel saying? What do you gain by roasting your commemorative meat, right? And then cooking the other one? What do you gain by that?
Highlighting
what? A differentiation. Okay, so meaning what? Meaning that as long as
one is roasted and one is cooked, then you can tell that one is a zeker to one is a zeker to the other.
But you're not worried about what?
Not worried about recreating the korban.
About mimicking.
Yeah.
Okay. No, it's this. What?
How do you know which one is which?
What?
How do you know which one is which?
This is sleeves the korban pesach.
How do you know?
I said so. What do you mean?
Well, because
no, it's this. In other words, this.
Meats.
What?
They're two different meats that you get in pesach.
You're right. So, and therefore, what?
So instead of roasting one, why don't you roast both of them and have two different
kinds
of meats?
We have to move on to the next point. Well, I'm not trying to cop out. We can talk about this afterwards. But I think what Rabbeinu Chananel is trying to do, I think, is that he's trying to say that he likes the idea of a further commemoration. He likes that. Add sli as well. Right? Now you have a roasted piece of meat. Beautiful. I mean, when you see that roasted piece of meat, you know what you're going to think about? The Korban Pesach, right? But the problem is that if you roasted the Chagiga as well, what would happen? He's challenging Tosos head on. He's saying, you're right. That would be a problem of mimicking. But by having one roasted and one not roasted, right, I'm creating differentiation. And that differentiation does what?
Typically not mimicking.
Right. It's telling me that the differentiation itself creates the reality that I'm not mimicking. By creating a differentiation between the two methods of cooking, I'm demonstrating that I'm bedafka not mimicking. Yes?
Is it different all the
What?
Everyone holds.
If you look at his lashon carefully, what does he say? He says, source number 7. He says, there are those who require 2 pieces of meat, okay? One for the Pesach, and he says that's roasted, and one for the Chagiga, and that's a Vushal. Interesting. So you see that he's citing who? Rabbi Nachmanan. So he likes the idea of differentiation. He says there are those who hold that one of them should be roasted and one should be cooked, but they're both pieces of meat, okay? And he says, and this is the Lashon of the great, what do you call it, Poskim, right? And that's what you should really do. So it's interesting. So if you walk away right now, it would sound like the best thing to do would be to have a roasted, let's say, roasted piece of meat and a cooked piece of meat. But then he says, "We call makom nahugu am." That's always interesting. What does nahugu am mean? No, what is it? Okay, what does it mean? Right. So people came up with a custom. Right. It doesn't sound like the rabbanon came up with this, but the people did. And what was their custom? Bizro beitza. So it turns out the idea of the shank bone on the egg goes back a long, long time. Long, long time. Now, but why? Why do they use a shank bone and egg? Okay? Why? So the Miri says, now he says, the afim medrash barmalam, mitzad alashem. Now you gotta be very careful in his language, because what's he saying? He's not saying this is the reason why they decided to do it. Rather, what's he saying? He's saying, I can find you a proof for why they do it. In other words, this custom came about to start using a shank bone and an egg. It's unclear why. Okay? But it turns out that Miri says, but I can give you a good reason why. There's a medrash that seems to say the reason why. Because what does the medrash say? Rotsa lomar by a bea vidara, klomar, bar rachmana. Right? What's the play on words there? Anyone figure that out?
Yeah, bea.
Which means?
Egg.
You're right. Oh, but what does it mean here? Say it. Desires. Like God's. Yeah. So it's a play on the term of God desiring us in the Exodus from Egypt. And then also, why would you use a Zroa? Why use a shank bone?
Zroa
and a Tuya. Now, think about it. That's actually a nice idea. Why? Why? Because what do you, I mean, that's I like that. Because what are you doing? Because think about it. You have these two things that are there to commemorate what?
Pesach
and Chagiga. Pesach and Chagiga, right? But it's interesting. But what does this Nihug do to these two items? I don't know about that. All right,
yeah,
don't be such a canai.
No,
but what's it? No, but it's a very clever idea. What it's doing? What's it doing? That's so brilliant. There is a brilliance in the minhag of the am. See, and people think I don't believe that. There is a minhag to the brilliance of the am. There's a brilliance in the minhag of the am. Why? What's so brilliant about this? You know what it's doing? Oh, Isaiah got it. In other words, by adding these ideas of Zroa and Beitza, you know what it's doing? It's making it part of not halachically. But thematically, part of the mitzvah is a layla. Because when you think about the matzah, what do you think about? Something that has to do with the Exodus. When you think about the Mara, you think about the Exodus. And guess what? When you think about the Zro and the Beitza, it's true they're there to commemorate the Korban Pesach and Korban Chagiga, but they fit in naturally to the Seder plate if they also have some idea about the Exodus, which is, I think, a nice idea. So I would endorse such a concept of using the Zro and Beitza. It's a good minhag. It's a good minhag. Yeah. You.
Oh,
yes.
No, sorry. Yeah, so.
Yeah, you.
Is this just the idea of Zechor or Zechor since the time?
It's Zechor for.
Isn't it specifically Zechor for one? If you try to repurpose it for Zechor since the time,
I don't think you do it. I think you're adding another element to it. I think that's why the middle came about. I think people, I mean, look, I can speculate. Having beets and rice and 2 pieces of meat didn't seem to be sufficient. So people want to say that this is but I'm just saying, but I like it because it does fit into the themes of the thing. There's another reason why we do egg, by the way. We'll get that in a second. Yeah.
So all through the Pesach, I would be going into minhag, but if I had beets and rice on my plate, I would theoretically be going in line for lachma because we don't pass on like Rav Yosef, it seems.
No, we do pass on like Rav Yosef. Oh, you mean because we don't have 2 pieces of meat?
Right.
So interesting.
We can't pass on like Rav Yosef if we have the egg.
Right. Okay. So. What? It's funny you say that because if you look at most Haggadahs, what they usually say about the egg is what? No, they usually say the egg commemorates we'll get that in a second. The egg commemorates the Korban Chagiga, right? Which is like a funny idea because when you have the beets and rice, right? We don't know which of the beets and rice, which one's commemorating which. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. But everyone today says the Zroa commemorates what? The Korban Pesach and the egg commemorates the Korban Chagiga. Okay, great. Have a fun Seder. Enjoy your Seder. What? Hold on. But Monty made a good point, because I want to get all the poskim in. There are shidduchim who say, why do you use an egg? okay? And this is very Tisha B'Avish, but why do you use an egg? Because an egg is considered to be a siman of avelus. That's also not crazy. Because why would you use an egg? You use an egg because the egg itself, there's an idea of avelus attached to the egg, and that's going to make you remember the base of Mikdash.
That's like Ariel said. That's avelus because we can't bring in Karma Pesach. That's why it's not avelus that we can't bring in Karma Pesach. No, it's not the Mishnah Berurah says.
No, what does he say? The Mishnah Berurah says, he says, I got it. He says, it should be 12, but anyway. He says, when I take it from the Hebrew program to the word, it doesn't flip it over. Anyway, he says, because you buy lasso, shtei mini basar, echat si vechem lushal, zeh le pesach, yechad shapra. And that's interesting. So he himself also says, again, we're skipping ahead, but the Mishnah Berurah says, he says that, that when you have too many, really you should take too many basar, one sli and one mavushal, zeh le pesach, chagiga, the shapra dummy. That's the best way to do it. He says, Ella, that's interesting, Ella de'afa beitza yatza bezeh. That's a very important lashon. The Mishnah Berurah, who I think 99% of the universe likes the Paskin like, and he himself says that ideally you should use two pieces of meat, one cooked, one roasted, but you can use an egg. You can use an egg. Now, he says, V'yesha kasu, that why they choose the Be'a, Kolomar, Bari Rahman, the perfect Yitzana, fine. And then he says, V'yesha kasu, Mishum, the Osim, Anu, Zechel, Avelis, Beis HaMikdash, She'en, Anu, Yichol, Nahakev, Korim, Pesach. But then you're going to run into the problem, which... What? Right. And then what's Israel for? Chagiga, okay. Yes.
Why can't
I don't know who. Yes. In other words, if you roast the egg, why would that solve the problem? Because there are people who want to say like this. People want to say that when it comes to Rabbi Yossi's position, he didn't really mean Shnei Minei. I'm not saying I endorse this, but I've heard this before. Okay? He didn't really mean Shnei Minei Basar, rather what? What he was saying was is that you have to have two foods and in them must be some identity of korban. Right, exactly. So if one of them is roasted, it's true the substance may not be the same substance, but the fact that you roasted one of them is what?
Okay.
Is right. But the shnei tafshilin, the beets and rice, there's no idea of korban attached to them at all. So you could learn it as still within Rav Yosef. And I think my opinion is that if you read the postgame, if you go through the postgame, in my opinion, the language seems to indicate that we're all Rav Yosef people.
Really?
Yeah. Ramah says no, the Ramah says the habasar nagu shiyaz roa, the nagu shabasar yet sli. So our minag is for the meat to be roasted, right? Al gechalim, okay, on coals. By the way, there's some shitas who are this. I saw someone wants to bring down that you should really roast it. Like you shouldn't have it like you should have it at least over the fire. You should have it like on a grate. Here's the problem. He says vabeitzat tiyem mevushalas, right? Yeah. Not good, right? Right. Not good.
At least roast it.
Right.
People kind of suck it.